The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Haydock Commentary. We should live soberly and justly and piously. St. Jerome has chastely and justly and piously. The words comprehend man's duty to himself, to his neighbor, and towards God. Waiting for the blessed hope, that is, for the happiness of the blessed in heaven, which is promised and hoped for, and the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The title of great God is here referred to our Savior Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom cries out, "Where are now they who say that the Son is less than the Father?" St. Jerome in like manner says, "Where is the serpent Arius? Where is the snake Eunomius?" And that this title of great God is here given to Jesus Christ may be shown from the text itself, especially in the Greek. In other places of St. Paul, the glorious coming is always used to signify Christ's coming to judge the world. Also, one and the same Greek article falls upon the great God and our Savior Christ. So the construction is, and the coming of Jesus Christ, the great God, our Savior. The Gospel from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Haydock Commentary. Many reasons may be alleged why our Savior submitted to the painful and humbling knife of circumcision. First, to manifest to the whole world the reality of his human nature and the difference between his divinity and humanity. Second, to show he approved of circumcision, which he had instituted. Third, to prove that he was of the seed of Abraham. Fourth, to teach us humility and obedience by observing a law to which he was not bound. Fifth, that by receiving the burden of the law, he might free those that were under the law. And lastly, that the Jews might have no excuse for rejecting him because he was uncircumcised. So say St. Epiphanius and Nicholas of Lyra.